Let's begin.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
So we are day two of Carla's grand adventure back at Disneyland. She's dancing. Good morning.
Good morning, and it is a good morning.
It is. It's exciting. We've got a great lineup of guests coming with us this hour. It's really going to be fun. We're going to have James Harrison, the standout player for the Pittsburgh Steelers so long.
Big guy.
Big man. And then he went on and he finished his career with the Patriots. So he has a little experience playing under Belichick as well.
So this will be good. I'm ready to talk to him.
And next segment, we're actually going to have Greg Olsen, the standout tight end for the Panthers, who really had a tough end to his season, injuring himself. Don't know what it looks like. He's had an extraordinary career, 10 years, all pro, numbers of times. But it is a question mark whether he'll return next year to the Panthers.
It is a question mark, but you know what he's got in his back pocket? While he was injured this season, called a game for Fox, and wow, he has got some talent in the booth. So I don't know if he's ready to go there, but if he does, he's got.
Well, we'll give him a little bit of a tryout when he comes here. We'll just see how good he is with the microphone.
Right. He can show me a thing.
If he can stand toe to toe with the gloss, maybe he's got a future in the media.
I think he's going to be a bit glossy. I'm looking forward to it.
We will take a look at him, and then we'll finish our show with Pat McAfee, who of course was a punter for the Colts for about 6-7 years in the NFL, and then it's gone on.
He's a renaissance man.
He's done everything.
Wait to talk to him.
Yeah, I want to ask him what he's going to be when he grows up. He has spent time as a stand-up comedian. He's been at Barstool Sports. He
has WWE.
Yeah, WWE. Who calls WWE?
College football, NFL football. He's done a lot.
So he's done more things than the gloss, actually.
Don't be so sure.
Well, I won't sell you short.
Thank you.
Yesterday, they were lining up the gloss to be a hand model. You were discovered.
This is a fact. I was discovered yesterday.
You know, a lot of media come here to Radio Row. They're excited to be on Radio Row, and then they hope to be spotted for another opportunity. You were spotted yesterday.
I was spotted yesterday, so I am now. You're probably the only hand model at Gal Media. What do you think?
Well, your hands look beautiful.
But, you know, Lloyd's of London calling him this morning. Got to protect the assets.
All right, we'll be right back with Greg Olsen when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So it may be Super Bowl week, and of course, the Patriots are a big story, and their matchup is a big deal. The Rams are here, but the Dallas Cowboys are in the news as well.
Your boys are giving you something to talk about.
Well, Jerry Jones, he needs to be in the spotlight, too. We can't ignore him this week.
You know, he really doesn't take well to not being talked about.
Well, it is interesting because this is the decision that everyone has thought was coming, but he could have done it next week, but he's doing it this week.
Or why even now? Because you're basically, you know, this is what I want to hear from you. Because he's basically said, we got a lame duck head coach in Jason Garrett.
Yeah. So what the Cowboys have done is they basically said three things. Jason Garrett will be the coach this year, the head coach, but on a one-year contract remaining, he's not going to get a refresh. And then they're going to bring in Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator, and then John Kitna
as the quarterback coach.
So very interesting decisions. First of all, on the Jason Garrett thing, I actually like that. Look, the decision I think was not do you give him 5 years – an extension. He's just not been good enough to extend for another 5 years. I think the decision was, do you let him go now and bring in somebody who can take you to another level, or is he the best coach you've got for this season? Give him this season to prove himself one way or the other, and then let him go or re-up him then. But I think making him a lame duck this year and basically sending the message that this is a team that can win, should win, and we expect you to win, or you will not be here, is a fine message to send at this point in time.
I just wonder with Jerry, is the amount of winning, because Jason Garrett has a winning record, you know, starting with 0-3 this season, and they ended up, you know, in the playoffs. Is this kind of winning enough? I think that's what Jerry's telling us.
Well,
if
look,
not.
It's been a very mediocre track record, lots of ups and downs, and it's not all about Jason Garrett. There have been lots of moving parts
that's
in that
right.
Cowboys team and system. But I think the feeling now is that they have the pieces to win. They have a top-five defense. They've got on offense Ezekiel Elliott. They brought in Amari Cooper to make the offense effective right away. They
love
didn't
that
wait.
Pickup. Love. That was worth a first-round pick to me.
Yeah. So and they've got an O-line they're proud of. So they've got a lot of pieces, and I think the message is they should do it now. Now, they're going to do it with a very unproven offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. That was an interesting or an eye-opening pick in the sense that he's 29 years old.
He was Romo's backup before he got injured.
He's been
That's
a backup quarterback, so they know him well.
Right.
They understand who he is. They have a good feel for what he might bring to the table. But the weird moment is that he was under Scott Linehan. He was the quarterback coach. Now they're asking him to be the OC.
That's what I find is interesting. So well, I don't know how much departure we can get from that.
Well, this is a fun moment for us. Greg Olsen now joining us on set. He is, of course, the standout tight end for the Carolina Panthers.
Three-time Pro Bowler.
Three-time Pro
Cam
Bowler.
Newton's favorite target.
Well, Greg, welcome to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. What brings you to Radio Row this week?
It's been fun. This week we've been working with Bridgestone on their clutch performance program. I think everyone's always worried about, you know, guys' performance on the field, and we all are, but they also are, you know, really interested in what guys do in the community. They're a huge supporter of my charitable efforts back up in our Charlotte region, and I just think to take a minute this weekend and kind of recognize the efforts that a lot of guys that they support around the country and as a company, what the priorities they have in giving back to the community are. So it's been a great partner of mine now for the last year or so, and to share a little time with them this week has been fun.
And thanks for sharing time with us. We're glad
to
have you.
Happy to be here.
We're with Greg Olsen, who's brought to us here today by Bridgestone. So you had an extraordinary career, a tough way to end the season on injury. How are you feeling physically?
You know, I'm doing well. I got another week or so in this walking boot, which isn't not ideal for walking around the Super Bowl for a couple of days. But, you know, it's been frustrating two seasons. You know, it's kind of been out of the ordinary for me. I had such a long run, 10-plus years of not really having many issues and not missing any games. And now the last two seasons to kind of have the same small little bone keep breaking has been frustrating, to say the least. But big picture, it's not too big of a deal. It's not a huge, devastating injury by any means. So just I got a lot of time this offseason to rehab, and my main priority is just getting my foot better.
So, Greg, the silver lining in your injury this season, if there's going to be any, was that Fox put you in the booth to call a game. And I have to tell you, you're unbelievable. Do you think in the future you have any aspirations to be in the booth and do what you did? I was impressed.
I enjoyed it. You know, I've been very fortunate as a current player to have the opportunity that you just talked about with calling a live game on my bye week, doing some of the pregame shows, just been able to talk the game. It's been a game, obviously, I've played for a long time, been a part of for a long time. I think I have a unique insight into the different, you know, different aspects of the game. But as we all know, you know, it's a lot of that is just how things work out and circumstances and how timing and whatnot. So if given the opportunity, I would love to pursue it and kind of see how it plays out. I think I would enjoy the preparation. I think I would enjoy staying connected to the game. But more than that, it's just been a great opportunity and just a fun time.
Well, it gave me a little bit of pause because she was raving about how you perform on the microphone so much that there were whispers that she was going to ask you to replace me. I'm worried about my job. No, I don't want to get replaced here. I like being the boss
we'll
next to the gloss.
Later, Greg.
Yes, you guys are going to talk later. This is not fair.
I would never do that to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Greg.
See what an upstanding guy he is.
I understand. Okay, so it wasn't that long ago. Panthers were playing in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 50.
Yes, Super Bowl 50 against the Wade Phillips defense. And they're gonna face the Wade Phillips defense this week. The Patriots will. What does that mean? What does Wade Phillips bring to the table? And how do you think the Patriots will attack the Phillips defense?
No, I think it's going to be an interesting kind of battle, I think, between you know, obviously the Wade Phillips and his defense and, you know, 30-plus years of running defense and having the mind of understanding what it takes to stop prolific quarterbacks and prolific offenses versus a guy who's played quarterback probably better than anybody in NFL history, who's got a few tricks up his sleeve. He's played against a few good defenses in his day too. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, as you said, back in Super Bowl 50, Wade Phillips was a D coordinator when we played the Broncos. We were really rolling on offense that year. We had number one scoring offense in the league, and
15-1.
Yeah, we were as good as anybody ever. And
yep.
Just kind of stubbed our toe there in the final game. And, you know, it's really disappointing. You know, you leave a really huge opportunity on the table that we didn't take advantage of. But, you know, credit to that defense. They were really the difference in that game, holding us to probably a season-low 10 points. And, you know, sometimes you pick bad days to have bad days. And it was a combination of that and a good scheme and a good defense.
Greg, question. So you mentioned about stubbing the toe in the Super Bowl, which happens. And I'm looking at the Rams-Patriots matchup. How much of a difference do you think the experience that the Patriots have coming to their ninth Super Bowl versus Sean McVay bringing the Rams to their first win in years, and Sean's first win, and everyone on that roster is so young with the Rams. How much does experience really play into this?
No, I think it's a factor. I really do. I don't think it's anything they can't overcome, but I do think it's a factor, and you can't overlook what, you know, understanding how to prepare for the 2 weeks between the championship game and the Super Bowl, how vital that is, you know, expectation, you know, how to prepare, how to pace yourself through that week.
The distractions.
There's a lot that goes into it, the distractions. You know, that's when you hope they lean on guys like Wade Phillips, who's been there, been around, maybe can be that voice of reason to give guys a little expectation of what it's going to be like. But until you go through it yourself, people can tell you all they want. Until you go through it yourself, there's really nothing like it. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, early in the game, if they can just settle down, get acclimated to the hoopla and the pregame and everything, and just lock in and say, all right, now we just got to play our normal game. Everything else is irrelevant. So that'll be interesting. Young quarterbacks, some young players. I think it's going to be key. They got to get settled in early, or else it's going to get a little big.
And another quick question for you here, too. 53-man roster, position to position. Who do you think is the more talented team there? And then second part of it is, does that matter? Does it matter how they play together as a team, or if you match up as the better 53-man
roster? Yeah, I think that question pretty much sums up the Patriots' approach, right? I don't think if you go position by position that they're, I don't think in a lot of games, I don't think they're always going to be the most talented individually. But what they do as good, if not better than anybody else, is that concept of you're going to buy into doing it our way, our system. There's going to be high expectations. There's going to be high accountability. If you don't do it, we have no problem moving on from you. There's a high level of stress, high level of pressure. And it either chases guys away or makes guys thrive. And they've mastered that. And they have a superior player at the position that matters the most, obviously, with Brady. So that makes up for a lot of holes.
We're talking to Greg Olsen, the standout tight end for the Panthers. Let's talk about the Panthers for a minute. Cam Newton, have you talked to him? How is he doing physically?
I think he's doing all right. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. I've talked to him a little bit since his surgery. Apparently everything went really well. Wasn't too big of a deal. So I think everybody's optimistic that he's going to be okay. You know, I know he's probably at the top of the list of guys who are anxious for another crack at it, another season of feeling better and feeling like he can perform the way he's accustomed to. So got a long off season to kind of get all us injured guys on our feet a little bit and go from there.
You know, the off season, so much happens now in the NFL. Are there any things you really would like to see the team do to position for next year?
I think you have to keep drafting well. I think that never changes. I think every year you got to continue to have an influx of young, talented players that can fit into your system. You know, we had a lot of veterans that were kind of moving on from. Julius Peppers announced his retirement this morning.
Today.
Ryan Khalil's retiring. Thomas Davis, they're moving on. You know, so those guys have been really the backbone of this organization for a decade plus. So, there's going to be a lot of pressure on some young guys and some other guys that aren't used to kind of accepting those roles to say, all right, a lot of this falls on you now. And hopefully they're ready for that.
I love your draft that you took Christian McCaffrey, who I thought should have been the Heisman Trophy winner that year. But that's a whole...
She lobbied hard for him.
I mean, I could give you number after number, just like run the highlight reel. So talk to us about how he has changed the offense with, you know, his multi-skill set that he brings to the Panthers.
Yeah, the last 2 years, you know, he's really grown into one of the most diverse and, you know, versatile, you know, playmakers in the league. You know, obviously as a runner, as a pass catcher, out in space, run after catch, his toughness, I think people were really kind of surprised. But, you know, to your point, if you watched him play in college, you shouldn't be surprised. He's done this consistently time and time again since he was in college. So he's a great guy, and more so than that, he's just a great – he's the kind of guy you want to bring into your locker room, his work ethic, his approach to the game. He's unique in that regard for such a young guy.
All right, that's Greg Olsen. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. I guess I will concede the spot. You can take the job next to Carla.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
I can't wait.
After your playing season, you're going to have a big season in 2019.
All right, well, thank you guys. Enjoyed it.
Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Greg Olsen here on the Boston The Gloss, and when we come back, we will get a chance to visit with James Harrison of the Steelers and the Patriots. James Harrison next on SB Nation Radio.
listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is James Harrison. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion and a former NFL Player of the Year. Fantastic to have you with us here. You're joining David and Carla here on the Boss and the Gloss. Let's start with your memorable moment in the Super Bowl, a 100-yard return, the biscuit to the house.
Right.
And you're celebrating that. This is the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, it's the 10-year anniversary, and I teamed up with Hardee's to what we call the biscuit to the house campaign. And if someone returns an interception for a touchdown in this game, then they're going to give away free biscuits for 7 to 10 p.m. on Friday, February 8th. So that's
love free. Some free biscuits.
Yes,
that's
definitely
a good setup.
Good, real good. Like your grandmama used to make, you know?
Hardee's will do it that way, absolutely.
Yeah, from scratch.
Do they have to make it look as good as you did?
All they got to do is get there, and we getting free sausage biscuits for all of Friday morning.
All right, that's a deal.
So James has the record for the longest run, a touchdown run.
Yeah, longest interception return, yes.
It's interception return.
In Super Bowl history. It's
off of
cool.
Kurt Warner. He ran it back 100 yards. Fantastic play. The biscuit to the house, and Hardee celebrating that, his 10-year anniversary.
Okay, James, you played for some pretty amazing coaches. Mm-hmm. Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, and then ending your career with Bill Belichick.
Right.
Tell us the ins and outs of these guys. Who are your favorites? Who do you enjoy playing with the most?
I enjoy playing with all of them. I think the most strict and disciplined one was probably Bill.
Belichick?
Yeah. I forgot. It's two Bills.
Two Bills.
Yes.
So it's probably Belichick. But as long as you have no problem with, you know, following direction and, you know, sticking to a strict regimented program, you have no problem with that. The second, you know, strictest guy would be Cowher and then Tomlin. Cowher is, you know, I only had a few years with him, but he was a coach's player, but he was also, you know, still very disciplined. Mike was, you know, more open to letting his players do what it is that they felt they needed to do. And I think that just comes from him being a younger coach at the time when he first got in.
Right. So what do you make of what's going on in Pittsburgh right now? What would you – so let's put you, James. Let's put you at the helm. You're the GM. You're advising Mike Tomlin. You've got the Le'Veon Bell drama. You've got now –
I don't consider Le'Veon Bell to be drama. I consider that to be a contract negotiation that didn't work out in the favor of, you know, what they wanted to do. Obviously, each man has his own you know, opinions and feelings on what he should make. And, you know, I'd have no problem with what Le'Veon did or is doing, because at the end of the day, that's another man that is trying to make a living for him and his family. And just because you offer someone something doesn't mean they have to take it. And I think that's where a lot of the fan base has turned against him, because they're fans of the Steelers. They're not fans of Le'Veon Bell. I'm a fan of each individual person that I know. I want everyone to get what they feel they deserve or what the market says they should get. And that's where fans have the disconnect. They're so stuck to the fan part of being the Steelers or whatever organization it is that they can't personally connect with that person as being a person instead of just being somebody that plays for that organization.
And they're not in the trenches like you are. Like
Le'Veon
is.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's coming from a different place.
We're talking to James Harrison. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So I'd love to go back. When I think of you and your career, I think of the Steelers. Steelers had a good season, but obviously didn't get where they wanted to go. What would you like to see them do this offseason?
For me, they just need to all get on one page and come to an understanding and communicate and, you know, basically just put everything on the table and have open communication. I think that's the only way that they're going to have a chance of actually mending things together, if it is a possibility of doing it then. As far as what I would do, I don't have to do nothing. I'm not there. That's a good thing.
Is Mike Tomlin a player's coach?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It strikes me from afar, and I'm not intimate to that, obviously, but that he's a guy who would unite a locker room and build cohesion on a team.
I don't think, how I put that. I mean, yeah, it is his you know, his job. That's his position. You know, that's part of the things that he has to do. But it's kind of hard if everyone isn't treated the same, I'll say. I mean, you know, he has a
what's up, boy?
He has a saying that, you know, he's going to treat everyone fair, but he's not going to treat everyone the same. He's going to treat everyone fair. He's not going to treat everyone the same.
Right.
So, for different players, that's different things. And I think it's come at a point now where that treatment has boiled into different relationships with different players or whatever it may be, relationships with him.
Sure.
And that same thing happens in Seattle, too, with Pete Carroll. You know, the Legion of Boom felt like, really, he favored Russell Wilson in that offense, and the defense was saying, how about us? How did you get in that position? So it is an interesting way for a coach to treat, I like how you said it, treat everyone the same, but, you know, with different emphasis. I want to ask you, too, James, so you and Ben Roethlisberger have had an interesting start before you got to the Steelers. It was your last college game,
mm-hmm.
and you sacked him on 3rd and 4. Mm-hmm. To secure the win for Miami for Kent State.
He was Miami of Ohio.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. How's your relationship with Ben, and do you like him as the guy under center to take Pittsburgh to the next place?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, he's done it already. Yeah. You know, I have a great relationship with Ben. You know, we still talk, communicate. So you know, I have all the confidence, you know, in the world that he could do it. You know, he's done it twice already.
Does he want to do it, do you think, any longer?
Yeah.
He never gives a full answer. He's always leaves a little
open. He gave a full
answer.
He said, I'm here for the next 4 to 5 years, you know? You know, that was the last thing, you know, I heard. And even as recently as just this, you know, when the season ended, you know, he said he's coming back. So, I mean, years before that, yeah, you would get the, you know, about how my body feels
right.
and so on and so forth. So, obviously, he must be feeling good right now.
Good. Well, that's good for Steeler Nation.
We're talking to James Harrison, 2-time Super Bowl champion. Let me ask you, I'd love to get one more look at Belichick as he prepares for the big game this week. You played underneath him. What makes him so good at scheming? What do you expect to see out of his defense this week?
I expect him to go in and take away the things that L.A. does good and try and make them do better at the things they don't do so well at. If I take away what you do good and your focus has been that all year, then it's kind of hard for you to go out there and execute your game plan because no one's going to play to their weaknesses.
Right.
No one's going to practice to them. So I think, you know, that's what he'll have to do. And, of course, you know, Tom will have to go out there and be Tom.
And he will.
Yeah.
He doesn't. It's just if LA's got the same game plan to take away New England's things, you know, pressuring him in the pocket.
But see, that's something else, too, though. See, New England's offense will say, okay, you're taking this away?
We've got this.
We'll take this.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You can't defend everything. In every defense, there's a weakness. And if you have a coach or a quarterback, coordinator that can see those things and exploit those, then, yeah, you're going to get your plays here, there. It may be to where, hey, I got to throw a 6-yard check down and let my running back scurry for another 6 or 7. It may be a game where I hit it for a 30, 40-yard bomb, you know, 4 or 5 times, you know, a game. It's all dependent, and whatever it is that you
whatever
take away, he's going
you.
To work. Right. He's going to work with whatever it is that you didn't take away.
All right, that's James Harrison. James, thanks so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Happy anniversary on the Biscuit in the House.
Thank you.
The Biscuit and a Half. Yeah, that was a big moment and a fun celebration. 10-year anniversary of his big play.
If you're going to get an interception, you better have run it back 100 yards. That's cooler than cool.
All right, we'll be right back with Pat McAfee on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is the Boss and the Gloss. presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So one of the big themes this week, of course, is the age difference. You got Belichick, who's been around seemingly forever, and then the young one, Sean McVay, who is really, really young.
Just turned 33 this week.
And so it's amazing that he's
very
so young.
Very similar to our age. We can relate.
Well, yes, of course.
Let's stick with that.
We're closer to Sean McVay than we are to Bill Belichick. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's it.
At least you are.
That's it. Yeah. It's our story, and we're sticking to it.
But McVay is so young, he could be a player in this game.
Okay. This is crazy.
Yeah?
This is crazy. You're exactly right. So this is not going to be the first time that Sean McVay and Julian Edelman have ever faced each other. Now, this we're going to see Sunday, head coach versus wide receiver. But they faced each other as players in college. So Sean McVay, in 2007, Sean McVay was a wide receiver for Miami of Ohio. They beat Kent State 20-13. And who was QB? Who was under center for Kent State? Julian Edelman.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So Edelman was a quarterback back then.
He was a quarterback. So, and he had a great game, 260 yards. He had 92 yards rushing in the loss. So Super Bowl 53 will be the first time that they face off again, and it'll be as head coach and wide receiver. And maybe that explains Edelman's kind of some sort of connection with Brady that is beyond what anyone can imagine, that maybe he understands the QB mindset and knows where, you know, there could be something.
Oh, I absolutely think experience as a quarterback projects well to becoming a wide receiver if you have that kind of athleticism, which he's obviously developed. I mean, Edelman's been outstanding. But that stat, that it's the first time a head coach and a wide receiver are facing each other in the Super Bowl once and haven't had played together,
players,
former players against each other in college, that almost just cannot be replicated mathematically, because you'd have to have an exceedingly young coach. You're not going to get much younger than Sean McVay at 33. And you have to have a player who had good longevity. There it is, Edelman at 33 as well.
And it does highlight the youth of Sean McVay. 33 sounds young, of course, but basically he and Edelman are the same age.
Right.
So you've got a player and a coach that's – so, in, again, that highlights – the importance of the Rams, bringing in a veteran, a 41-year coaching NFL veteran in Wade Phillips. Not that Sean McVay needs the balance out, but, hey, someone who's been there, done that, like the Patriots have.
It's the day for youth in the NFL with all these young guns coming into the league, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Another big headline this week, Roger Goodell had his press conference. He addressed the whole New Orleans non-call fiasco.
He had to, or there's going to be a riot.
Well, I actually wondered why he took so long. I mean, he waited, what, 8 days to say something. And when you wait 8 days, it builds anticipation that maybe he had something big, big, big to announce or say. And, of course, he waited 8 days, and he said what he might have said just 48 hours after the event, which is, look, this is really disappointing, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to look at the rules, and we're going to see if we can get it better next time.
Well, interestingly enough, he did contact Sean Payton immediately,
yep,
like within, you know, a day of the game or the same day as the game. And that's the one person you need to. But funny thing about that is Sean McVay has, I mean, Sean Payton has been the most vocal and the most, he wore a Roger Goodell clown T-shirt to Goodell's State of the NFL address.
Yeah, what does that mean? What is he suggesting by wearing that clown T-shirt?
Well, let's look where that clown T-shirt has been before.
Okay, it has a history.
It has been on the body of a good old Matt Patricia when he was the DC at New England.
Yes.
And that was in response to
Deflategate.
How they felt about Deflategate.
Sure.
And Roger made it very clear with Matt Patricia he wasn't happy about that. And so here we go. Sean McVay shows up at – I keep saying Sean McVay. Too many Seans. Sean Payton shows up at the State of the Union NFL. He was wearing a half zip over it. It was underneath it. But it was obvious enough that several people noticed he was wearing – and it's a T-shirt of Roger Goodell's face with a big red bozo nose on it.
You know, my employees do that a lot at the office, but they have the courtesy of wearing it underneath their shirts, and it's never really very visible.
I do it under a dark shirt. Then you would
nobody
never
knows. Yes, it's always fine. Yes, that was a bit odd. Except, but look, Goodell's in a tough spot. He can't wave his hand and fix all things. But I'm a little surprised. To me, Bill Belichick's come up with the best answer, which is, why not just put this in the hands of the coaches? Why have all these rules about what's reviewable, what's not reviewable? Just give the coaches the chance to make or throw a flag for two reviewable or three reviewable. I don't really care what the number is, but you have two. two or three moments in the game where you can stop and say, I'd like that call or that non-call. I'd like that play to get reviewed for this specific reason. And then it becomes a strategic decision in the hands of the coaches. And if that had been the case, and we were sitting there, Sean Payton could have thrown his flag. It wouldn't have been, well, that's not a non-reviewable play, or we're not going to do a non-call. You don't have any of that debate. If he still had it in his pocket, he could still throw that flag. If he'd used it up earlier in non-strategic moments, then we'd all be saying, well, that was a bad coaching decision on Sean Payton. But it puts the decision on when to review, when not to review, when to take another look, when to give another consideration, you put it in the hands of the coaches, and then you make it a strategic decision.
And you would still use it where if you lose the challenge, you lose the timeout.
Sure.
So there's a lot at stake.
You can do that, yep.
You know,
yep.
In how you manage the game. I like that, too, because the onus should be on the coaches. They're invested in the outcome of that game,
sure.
Period. So
yep.
You've got to have your scheme down. You've got to know when it's the time to do it and when not to do it. What Goodell said in his State of the NFL was to put the onus on the competition committee,
mm-hmm.
which is a small group of owners
yeah.
and coaches that decide how the game should be evolving.
Right.
And they're going to meet in February. And I kind of like that idea because that's what the competition committee is for.
Right.
And it's got different people representing it. But what Goodell said is I'm not going to them just for solutions. I'm going to them for solutions to look at solutions and also at the unintended consequences as well.
Sure.
Because there are plenty.
Sure.
There are plenty. So, it's been said that, to add an extra official on the field, Goodell shot that down immediately and said, so 7 humans, 8 humans, it's still human error.
Right.
I don't want
that. Well, there were a lot of officials on the field that did not make that call. It just, I wish that there were no restrictions on when a coach can pull out that challenge. But that will be something that will get a lot of consideration by the committees this offseason, and hopefully there'll be a different structure for next year.
Yeah, just a few weeks, yeah.
Now, Goodell also weighed in on the fate of your beloved Raiders.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are they going to play next year?
Well, okay, I'm hopeful. I'm going to be hopeful that they're going to be playing in Oakland. I mean, I know that's what Mark Davis really wants the Raiders to remain in the Bay Area for his final season.
Yep.
San Diego is not a possibility.
Yep.
Mark Davis has said that, owner of the Raiders. But, Roger Goodell told the Raiders that he's hopeful for a decision by the stadium by the time they meet for their winter meetings in February. Doesn't look like that's going to happen because you got to love City of Oakland. It's brought a lawsuit against the Raiders. No stranger to lawsuits. Raiders have a lot of those. For antitrust. And
right.
So they're in this mess. But I did hear, and this is good news, that the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum Authority has met recently behind closed doors. No Raider representatives around it, to talk about the possibility of keeping them in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're beginning to soften because there's nothing positive that comes of shooing them off. I mean, I understand the city's upset. I don't want them leaving either, but it is what it is. So
well,
I think they're
better off with the Raiders, they're better off for at least another year with the Raiders, right?
Exactly.
Why shoo them away faster?
Right. So one more season, blow it out.
Sure.
It's going to be a good one. I'm thinking positive.
Wow, you are an optimist.
I know. Just give Raider Nation a glimmer of hope. You know what's crazy? Think about, there's 4 NFL franchises in California.
Yes.
3 of them are playing in temporary stadiums.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay, that's a head-scratcher, and that's something that should be
Well, that's certainly going to change. I mean, Los Angeles is going to have a pristine stadium once it's built. But, yes, right now they're all in temporary. Let's talk about the Raiders offseason. They do have 3 number one draft picks, and the whispers now are that they're going to use one of them on a quarterback, which surprises me a little bit. I would have thought that the Raiders had their quarterback. That's one thing on which I would have a great deal of optimism, that they have a franchise quarterback in Derek Carr, and they can use these 3 number one picks on other positions. But this week, Lance Zierlein, the great draft analyst at NFL.com and ESPN 97.5 in Houston, he came out and he had, in his first mock, Kyler Murray going to the Raiders. Others have the Raiders drafting quarterback later in the first round. It just surprised me. Is there that much sentiment that Derek Carr is not the answer?
I think there's mixed reviews on that. And here's what I would look at. I say, you look at what John Gruden has done with Derek Carr this year. He's introducing Carr to his 4th offensive system in 5 seasons.
Right.
That is a huge task for any quarterback. And Derek Carr is in his 5th season. So as expected, he went through a lot of rough patches. But you look at the second half of the season, there were definite improvements in the way that Carr was playing. Take also into account, he has no weapons around him.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't really have a line. His defense wasn't doing much. He doesn't have much in the receiving.
Well, they traded away his best receiver in Amari Cooper.
Yes, they did. So it's just, you know, he accomplished this feat behind a really porous offensive line, doesn't have a top flight receiving option. So I think focus on getting pieces around Derek Carr. Give him, I mean, they've signed him to a big deal. He's a great guy. He's a good leader in the locker room. And I really do think he and Gruden do respect each other and get along well. It just, we never know exactly what Gruden is thinking, but if he feels like he can develop Carr, which, my gosh, you saw just in the second half of the season with nothing to work with, such a better product. I know they brought in Nate Peterman. Don't get me started.
Yeah, but the beauty of all those picks is they can use them on position players to build a wall around or to build receiving talent around Derek Carr and make him excel. One other quarterback topic that's sort of intriguing, I ran into Tony Boselli, who, of course, had a great career with the Jacksonville Jaguars, a little stint with the Texans. And I asked him about the quarterback position in Jacksonville, and he...
I can't wait to hear
that. Look, I mean, in Jacksonville, apparently, they really are looking for Nick Foles. I mean, he is a guy who could slide in and make a contribution right there. The Jaguars seemingly have all the pieces except for a quarterback, and Nick Foles is a Super Bowl quarterback who pops out into the market. That's a very rare opportunity. It just seems like a perfect fit.
It's a perfect fit, and it is the perfect time for Nick Foles to move. He's beloved in Philadelphia, and he has shown, I'm a starting quarterback material. I don't need to be a backup anymore, which is, you know, basically what he's been relegated to. And I think Philadelphia has been pretty clear, the top brass, that Carson Wentz is the guy. Like, we don't need to see him coming back. We know he's going to be. So Nick Foles got to sell high. This is time to go. And I think Jacksonville would be a great place for him. I think they would embrace him because one thing Nick Foles has, well, many things he has that Blake Bortles doesn't, is consistency. And he's a winner. He knows how to win. Look at the stage he was on last year.
He plays better in the bigger games.
I mean,
when you go back to his playoff game against the Saints, they were on their way to tying late, right? They were driving down the field. Foles did everything right. He made a good pass. Alshon Jeffries tipped the ball. The interception happened. The Eagles' drive was stopped. But you can't blame that on Nick Foles.
No, it's not
on
Nick Foles.
He played well down the stretch. He's a guy who can really elevate his game, particularly when it matters.
And he doesn't need to be getting reps to keep himself in the fold. I mean, he was sitting down for a long time and then, bam, can come up and just pick up exactly where he left off. That's an invaluable piece, and I think Jacksonville would do great to pick him up. Pay him what he needs because you play Blake Bortles and you're going to be paying for 2 more years. Jeez.
One other quarterback story of note.
$56 million for 3 years for that guy.
Yeah, no, he's a... So here comes Patrick Mahomes. He's roaming around here. Of course, he's had a breakout year, and we go back to that draft. Trubisky, Watson, and Mahomes, three quarterbacks all taken in the first 11 picks. All of them have made a mark and seemingly are on a good track. If you were redrafting today, how would you rank the three?
And I'm going to consider Deshaun's injury as well?
Sure. Deshaun, okay. The problem with Deshaun is he's only really had a season and a half.
Right.
In that, well, at least he's lost half a season with his ACL.
The half season before the injury was phenomenal, though.
Mm-hmm.
But given what if we're sitting here right now,
yeah.
I draft Patrick Mahomes number one, Deshaun Watson number two, Mitchell Trubisky 12.
Yeah. But you,
honestly,
the great thing about it is you've got three guys who I think are all going to be keepers.
I do too.
And in some cases, perhaps we'll be looking back at extraordinary careers. I mean, at this moment, it's still early, but at this moment, Mahomes is looking like a quarterback for the ages. Watson showing all those kind of flashes to be a standout as well, particularly if they get a good O-line around him.
Yes, and that's going to be imperative for Brian Gain with the Texans in the offseason.
All right, we will wrap it up when we come back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the Georgia World Congress Center for Radio Row, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Now, here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, it's been awesome to be here at Radio Row. We've gotten to interview all kinds of luminaries. I'm interested to hear, who was your favorite interview?
It's a tie. I've got a tie.
Okay.
I don't have a tie for my prediction for the game, but I have a tie for interviews between Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
and the dynamic duo, all-female booth, calling Thursday Night Football, Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm.
Yeah, that was some girl power there.
It was some serious girl power.
Well, they are really great at what they do.
Serious power.
Hannah Storm, Andrea Kramer, doing the broadcast for Thursday Night Football. Outstanding. Bill White Shoes Johnson just has a joy about him, a bounce in his step. You could tell he would still be able to do that celebratory dance.
He would. In fact, I was ready to see it.
I was a little nervous that you two were going to go off into the corner here at Radio Row and just start jumping around and doing that crazy dance.
He does have the moves like Jagger. I've seen it. It's pretty impressive.
All right, we've got just about a minute here, and it is time. Everyone is waiting. The world wants to know
your pick, too.
Who the gloss is going to pick for this win? And give us a score or a margin at least.
I'll give you a margin.
Okay.
Rams by four.
Rams by four.
Intriguing. And I know that's not your pick, so let's hear it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with the Patriots. And you know what? I guess I'm feeling like I want to stick. Well, see, it's here we are. It's old versus youth, right? And I got to go old. You're young, so
you just naturally go
with the young people. I'm going with the old people, given where we are in life. It just makes sense. You're going with McVay and the Rams. I'm going with the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to win 31-27 in a close one.
It's going to be a close one. All right, we'll catch up on Monday and see who's smiling.
All right, a great day on Radio Row. Thanks so much. Coming up next, we'll have Patrick Creighton on SB Nation Radio.